Thank you, choir. Thank you for having me back. I'm so blessed to lead worship with Phil and Pam. Thank you. Our scripture this morning is found on page 955 of your Pew Bible. It's in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Hear the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine if we could not talk to God? You know, they say you're pretty normal if you talk to yourself. It's when you answer yourself that you are in kind of some scary territory. But if we could not talk to God, it reminds me of a saying that Pastor Barbara Haddon, I used to work with Pastor Barbara Haddon at Sherman Oaks Presbyterian Church about 11, 12 years ago, more than that, 14, 15 years ago. And she had a saying. She would say, if such and such would happen or not happen, boy, we would be living in a world of hurt. And I think to myself, if we could not talk to the Lord, we would certainly be living in a world of hurt. Surely, if we couldn't talk to God, we would feel afraid, alone, and wandering. We know that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only do we get to talk to God, but that God invites us to talk to him, invites us to draw near, invites us to open the doors of our lives, that we would be wide open to hear from him and to commune with him. We call this talking to God a very fancy word. We call it prayer. The Apostle Paul founded this church in Philippi, we think between the years of 60 and 62 AD when he was under house arrest. It was the first church that Paul planted on European soil. It's located in northeastern Greece. It's a short personal letter of thanks to the church for their financial support to Paul. But as well, it's a letter of encouragement. And it's encouragement for them to be united in the faith, to keep the faith, to be united in one spirit, and to be joyful always. We read these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. As followers of Jesus, our joy is built on the Lord, and not on anything that this changing world or our changing lives is comprised of. Therefore, in seasons of trial and uncertainty, our joy is unaffected and can remain steady and steadfast. It is because our joy is tucked away in the things of God, tucked away in his promises to us, in the truth of the gospel, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We recall the verse in Romans and throughout the scriptures that echo, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first disciples gave us an example of exhibiting this kind of joy in the midst of hardship and suffering. We recall Paul and Silas in it singing hymns in jail. And when we exhibit this kind of joy, it serves as a bright light to ourselves and to those around, particularly in the midst of hardship, because our joy is built on the things of God and in who God is. Paul goes on to say, let your gentleness be evident to all. We are to be gentle people. This doesn't mean we don't stand up for ourselves. We don't stand up for our neighbors. We don't stand up for things that are right or just. We do stand up for those things as Christians. But it does mean that we exhibit a life that is of a calm spirit, not easily provoked to anger. Jesus himself described himself as gentle. He says in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And as well in the First Testament, the prophet Zechariah makes this prophecy about the Messiah. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Our gentleness is to be evident to others. Therefore, we need to be particularly aware of how we come across to other people. We may think we're one thing, but we may be coming across quite differently. Are we gentle with our children? Are we gentle with our spouses, our co-workers, our tenants, our employees, our landlords? We are to exhibit gentleness, which is rooted in humility. Paul goes on, the Lord is near. Paul reminds the believers in Philippi that the Lord is not far off, not distant, not remote, not absent, but very close. Paul could have been referring to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he could have been referring to the day of the Lord is near. But I don't think so, because the prophet Obadiah, Joel, and Zephaniah speak of the day of the Lord as a day of destruction and a day of judgment. No, Paul says, the Lord is near. Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. The Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. Psalm 73. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. James chapter 4. And when you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. You know what reminds me that the Lord is near? When people are near. When people draw near to me. It reminds me that God is not far off, but knows my name. Maybe there's somebody in your life that needs a phone call, a text, an email, or what I call a drop by. Just drop by. Hi. I was in the neighborhood, even though you weren't. I only have a half hour. Just wanted to say hi. The Lord is near. Paul then uses this phrase, the Lord is near, as the basis by which he says the next statement, which is to be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is really fear or worry about the future. Fear that the future will come crashing in on us. Fear that we won't be ready. It is a very real feeling. Instead of being anxious, we are to pray. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Everything. You say, I don't have time to pray for everything. Let us open wide our hearts and minds to God every day and to ask Him, Lord, what shall I pray for today? Help me be an instrument of prayer, a conduit of prayer, talking to you. Help me be opened to what you would lay on my heart to not only pray, but maybe do today, so that then we even become the prayer. Let us open wide the gates of our lives to the living God. Open the doors of our thoughts so we can talk to Him throughout the day, not just at one particular time, although that's good too. Hebrews 4, verse 6 tells us that we can come boldly into the throne of God's grace, that Jesus has paved the way for us to have such boldness, that we can have the confidence to enter God's presence in prayer. Hebrews 4. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes. Of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has not gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I took off a year of college to attend a Bible program. It was an enriching experience, very deep experience, as we combed through the entire Bible, learning about the history and the culture and prophecies. But along the way, I became unable to pray. It was as if I had so filled my head that my heart had dried up and I couldn't pray. I confided in a friend that my faith was dried up and doubts had set in along the way, as well as prayerlessness. I told her I hadn't talked to God in weeks, even months. She asked me if I could pray the Lord's Prayer. I said no. She asked me, what can you do? I replied, nothing. She asked me if I could kneel beside my bed each night and say nothing. I thought I could do that. And after several days of kneeling beside my bed before I climbed into the bed, days went by and I finally cried out, help me, God. The point is that we start wherever we are to commune with God. With our doubts, with our anger, with our fears, with our little faith. It is not about what we say. It is that we invite God into our lives with the posture of an obedient disciple. A humble and contrite spirit I will in no ways cast out, the scriptures tell us. We are able to talk to God anytime, anywhere, for any reason. We are able to submit our worries and anxieties, knowing that God is able to take care of our futures as well as our present. The God who forgives our past guides our present and can be trusted with our futures. Paul goes on, and the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends understanding. In other words, we don't get it. It's too high for us. We don't get it. It's the great exchange. We submit to God our worries and our anxieties, and He fills us with His peace. Jesus promised His disciples His peace. Remember in John 14, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." Peace. Jill Briscoe describes peace as faith resting. Our faith can rest knowing that we have placed our faith in the mighty, loving hands of God. Paul goes on, and the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard. A guard is a useful person to have, watching over our minds and our hearts, especially a guard from God. Without a guard, our fear comes back, and he brings his cousin anxiety with him. We have fear and anxiety showing up again, making themselves at home in our mind and heart. They look for the remote control. They sit on our couch. They ask if we have any soda in the fridge. They want to heat up our leftover spaghetti. They want to make themselves at home, distracting us, keeping us from faith resting, keeping us from peace, keeping us from knowing that we've entrusted all of our cares to God. We need a guard, and the guard is peace. And then lastly, Paul says, his favorite term, unless the Philippians and us forget. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This speaks of our position, our status, our relationship as a disciple to the living Lord. To be in Christ is to be grafted into the truth of the gospel. It is to be covered with the secure knowledge of forgiveness. It is to be adopted as daughters and sons of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is to be connected to God permanently through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So let us open wide the doors of our mind and our hearts to the Lord with all kinds of prayers, prayers of repentance, prayers of petition, prayers of praise and of thanksgiving. Let us entrust to the Lord of the universe our futures, people we care about, situations. Then let us walk in peace, the peace of Christ, which comes as a gift of grace and mercy by the Holy Spirit. Jill Briscoe, again, in her book, Faith Dancing, writes about her spending time daily in prayer and reading the Word of God. And she describes it as sitting on the steps of your soul, like sitting on the steps of a front porch. She writes, "Something happens when your soul sits down to rest. It's always quiet on the steps. You know the steps of your soul. Sweetly quiet, and the air so still, different from any other place on earth. And joy, a whispering of love that seems to be saying, I see you." My friend asked me the other day, "Have you ever wondered about prayer? How does it work and why do we do it?" She asked, "If God knows everything anyway, why do we do it?" Several months went by and we spoke again. She said, "I figured out why we pray." Her answer was simple. She said, "Jesus told us to do it. And therefore, out of obedience, we do it." She said, "Also, Jesus prayed, and we're supposed to imitate him. And as well, when his disciples asked him about prayer, he not only told them to pray, he taught them a prayer." And she said, "That's good enough for me. I'm going to pray." And as well, the experience of prayer, of talking to God, changes us. As when one sits with a good friend and is enlightened or encouraged, sometimes rebuked, the truth is told, we begin to adjust our lives, our speech, our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, our habits. We begin to adjust those more and more to reflect God's will. Through prayer, we get to sit with God, who is able to move mountains and change things, even people, even us. We are invited to draw close, learn, listen, exchange our heavy burdens for Christ, who said his burden was light. And we can have the peaceful assurance that our prayers are in good hands. Amen.